And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Good afternoon, welcome to Aggie Nation. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. Cease for you, this is the last show until game day. It's finally here for you, sort of.
I see the light at the end of the tunnel because we pushed our...
I was going to say that you were up late last night.
Oh, yes, I was. But we pushed our college slash A&M section. Now, we can try to give the readers as much as possible, and I'm sure you hoped saw the SEC magazine. And don't worry if you haven't combined, pick it up, because I have yet to read it because I looked through it. It looks great, but I've got so much to do to get out. Well, I got out last night. As you well, you asked me questions about the Astros. Still don't ask me any questions. All I know is about that section, really,
yeah,
other than the press conference. So we pushed it last night at 2-ish or whatever. Now all I got to do is do game day in Prague, and I'll be ready for kickoff.
we're winding down. We're getting close.
I can finally say there's going to be a football game Saturday night that I'm going to be at, God willing.
we're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of great shows and events coming in, so check that out. Again, mscopus.org. You can give us a call, 693-1150, or you can text us at 229-1939. And fire away with your questions, whatever y'all want to know. This is your last chance to fire questions at Cease before the game.
Yeah,
on
this
Saturday
is the last chance to put that. Give us that email before. You were the one to predict A&M to go 15-0, and why?
Yeah.
You know, because after they beat Arizona State by 80 or lose by 40, whatever you say now will be out the window.
Yeah, it'll be. It's for the record. Yeah, so be sure to get those in 229-1939 plus. Any questions, thoughts, comments, whatever you want to send us, let us know. Few things right out of the gate, Cease.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Unbelievably, I know people are shocked. Kevin Sumlin, zero information on injuries today. How about that? Because he normally is a little coy with injuries,
right,
but
okay.
He wouldn't even. And here's the other thing, too. AJ Hilliard is actually at the press conference now. I don't know if you know this because you were out.
Well, he
in the
was
newsroom.
Supposed to be. I told you
he just got there, but he won't tell reporters if he's playing or not. So that's kind of weird.
Here's the deal: is all coaches change? Some of them gradual, some what have you. If you go back and look, and you can on microfilm or listen to past tapes, the first couple years, Kevin Sumlin would make reference to certain injury. His policy was injuries. His policy was not to report about injuries, but then he would go, oh, yeah, so-and-so's got a shoulder, da-da-da, whatever. But this year, you could tell he has decided, I am not going to say anything about injuries. He went through that in drills, and Sam Kahn, our buddy Sam from ESPN, asked, and Kevin Sumlin smiled and says, I'm not talking about injuries. So
yeah,
he's definitely staying he's gone Bill Snyder on us. He's not going to say anything about injuries.
No, and we don't know who's playing linebacker. I mean,
well, Hilliard starts if he's 100%.
Well, Hilliard and Alaka are both on the depth chart, but we know that the A&M's depth chart, every depth chart is worthless. A&M's depth chart is exceedingly worthless.
Okay, this is one of I put down note to self, blog on that, but by the time I blog on that, they might be playing Ball State. look at the depth chart coming out of spring drills. You look at the depth chart they supplied late yesterday afternoon. It is the least changes of any depth chart that Kevin Sumlin has had in his four seasons.
Yeah.
And he even admitted last year at one point, that depth chart doesn't mean anything. It's just a starting point. So this time... Now, before I say that, I put the old asterisk up there. Let's also remember, A&M is pretty well set. They've got 16 starters back. There's there's just a few positions, and Aubrey touched on linebacker.
Yeah.
One of the offensive line spots.
Left guard.
But other than that, this is a team, you know who the four receivers are, provided they're healthy.
Yeah.
You know, it just, and Cam Clear's not going to be tied in. So, I mean, there's a lot of things we know.
Yeah. So, anyway, we had that today. Today's press conference, really, the only thing I got out of it was Chavis. I mean, everything else.
Chavis was pretty good. Short and sweet.
We haven't seen anything new from the last press conference, so there was nothing really new to ask someone other than,
correct,
you know, what do you think, how has Kyle responded to being named a starter, how have the backups responded, and about Arizona State themselves. A lot of the Venn diagrams of people that coach for Texas A&M and people that coach Arizona State, they have a lot in common.
Oh, man.
There's a lot going on there with the coaches that know each other and have worked with each other and coached against each other, with each other, and against each other.
They've had a few iced teas together in these two programs.
Yeah. But Chavis was the best part, right? I mean, I've never seen, and it was your question, I guess good job to you, but I've never seen a coach decide that his own answer was so good he was going to walk off.
He didn't want to give another one.
No. He said, I'm fired up. Let's play football. I just walked out.
It was awesome.
And he even goes, that was good, and just walked off. That was it. That was all he had.
You kind of like that if you're a player, because John Chavis basically sacked the quarterback. And he goes, I'm walking out. That's a safety. I'm gone. Yeah. I can't do anything else.
Yeah, the question was, and you asked him, and it was because he is getting up there in coaching terms. He's getting up there, and it was how long can you keep doing this?
Well, my question,
ask how long can you keep
He turned it that way. My question was, we mentioned excitement a lot. I said a lot is expected out of you since you come to A&M. How excited are you going to be Saturday night for your first Aggie game?
Yeah, and he goes, well, people keep asking
he got pumped
me
up.
How long I can do this, and he said, I'll keep doing it until there's no
long as I
no
get the butterflies. Yeah.
So, there you go. He was fired up. He's ready to go. He gets you fired up. I tweeted out that if he went around the campus giving pre-test speeches, the cumulative GPA would go up by half a point. He's an old school football guy.
He's an old school defensive coordinator. Yeah. You talk to a lot of good football players, and you ask them who was their most emotional coach in high school was a defensive coordinator. A defensive coordinator is always the guy that, you know, fires you up because you can play defense. There's a lot of positions you can't play because of skill set. You play defense, and if you're coached well, defense. Look at Will Muschamp. You don't think he's probably pumped up right now? You look at some of the defensive coordinators out there. Chavis brings that. R.C. Slocum was like that when he was a defensive coordinator. Trying to think. There's a guy, Melvin Robertson, if you're old enough. He was called Mad Dog for a reason. He would get in people's face. And defensive coaches do that. And we're seeing some of that from Chavis. And you could see why he was such a good hire for this team. It's just who your personality is. And Sumlin's not that kind of a guy. I feel he's more of an offensive polish guy. You know, he's a little swagger guy. He's a swagger copter guy. That's who he is. But you need to compliment. You need a guy. Chavis, if you had to go play in that mud volleyball game last week or whatever, I'm taking Chavis with me.
Yeah, I mean, he was the star of the show today, really. I mean, someone talked for a while and Spav talked for a while. But
now, someone noticed that was probably the shortest press conference for Spav.
Well, that's what I was talking about. We literally don't have anything else to ask. Let's go play football.
Because, see,
we're out of questions.
Here's the deal is, if you go ahead and look at the questions today and the answers, Kevin Sumlin, I want to say 70% of the answers he's given already because we've had access to him in fall, and he's talked about where the team is, what they've done coming out of spring training, fall camp and spring. Now, here's the deal. Some new people were there. He had to say that. I get that. He had to say that. But the new stuff was Arizona State, and as you mentioned. There was some new stuff there, and you got to go over the old stuff because next week we'll have game tape. We'll have actual plays like, okay, Jake, why did you call that pass play on third and four? Was that you or was that Christensen?
And I think maybe this offseason more than any other, there's been – you know, so much wait and see stuff that you can talk about it all you want. Quarterbacks, the running game, can the wide receivers take a step forward, even the offensive line. That I thought it was kind of a fitting final press conference for Spavital. We literally don't have any other questions. The only thing left is just to see how they do. You know, I mean, that's it.
And, for example, next week we'll be able to talk of why Taylor Bertolette was 5 of 5 on extra points or 3 of 5. You know, I mean, that's what we'll be able to talk about something.
Yeah, but I thought he was – the whole thing today was just sort of like, all right, let's get to Saturday.
Okay, now when Chavis was done and we're journalists, didn't you want to high-five him?
Yeah.
Okay, so didn't you want to give him a high-five as he went by?
Which
you can't do, but you wanted to.
Yeah. Well, it's like he's not even – he doesn't even just get you fired up for the game. And we all cover A&M, and everyone in the room there is a professional. But and so – not necessarily that you're fired up for another Aggie season, but it's college football.
We're
excited to see a game.
Yes.
I mean, I'm excited to see a game Thursday, much less the game on Saturday that I'll actually get to go to. But, you're excited to finally get to see another college football game, but he amps it up another level. So everyone's fired up.
The greatest thing about Chavis is you ask him a question, he answers it. He doesn't think of the political right question. Like, one of the questions was, did you have to alter the way you did some things when you got here for the way A&M was? No. He said, we're doing my way. You know, basically, hey, I'm here. We're not, you know, most coaches would say, oh, well, we came in and we took what we liked from A&M. What was the place? No. James goes, we're using my system.
Yeah. The thing that is interesting to me about him, I mean, we haven't covered him before. I mean, we've been around him a little bit because he was at LSU, but there's certain coaches you can get a sense of how they feel coming into the season. Are they confident? Are they not? And you can't get a feel for that with him because we've never seen him before, but he even straight up said today, I'm not backing down on my defensive ends. You know, they're some of the best in the country. And I was a little surprised. He said, I feel really good about where we're at corner. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show, that Brandon Williams a little bit. But he did admit that the linebacker a little – he's not real confident there. He said that they got to learn some things there. But no lack of confidence for him.
But now that we have pushed our college section and we've done a lot of research, all of us, after hearing if A&M comes out in all year, plays well at cornerback, it's really not going to bode well for Mark Snyder's system. Because, you know, Harris was here, there's other people, DeShazer Everett. I mean, I just think, and I'll hear someone say, hey, man, I'm wrong as much as I'm right. I still have a rough time believing that the cornerbacks aren't going to struggle at times.
That's my thing,
but listen to Chavis. He's,
and I go, Devonta Harris, Brandon Williams, Nick Harvey.
I go like, wow. I just think, you know, and that's when I go, okay, John, step away from the Kool-Aid. I'm thinking maybe, I mean, I'm just, and bless him if he does, they do it. Bless his heart, as Larry Bone would say. But I just think, the two areas that I look that I go, cornerbacks and linebackers.
Yeah.
And I go, I know you're a great coach and you got great confidence, but you can't heal those shoulder and injuries and you can't give them experience. And
we'll see.
People still run over Devonta Harris even at 185 probably.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. All lead corner, then Chavis might really be the greatest defensive coach ever. All right, send us your text. What questions do y'all have for Saturday? What questions do y'all have for us? What do y'all want us to weigh in on? Let us know. 229-1929. We're going to break. We'll come back. Lori Corbelli joins us to talk about volleyball. They start the home slate on Friday, so we will talk to her about that. So come back with us. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle. Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
There is so much happening in Aggie football this fall, you need to be attending the best live show around to stay up to date and on top of all things Aggie football. It happens every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap, and it's called the Belucci Hour. Get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texax Radio every week, twice a week this fall. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles. Make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your week every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M University Center and Special Events to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M Center and Special Events uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
St. Joseph Eagle football fans, here's a reminder for you to listen to St. Joseph Eagles football throughout the season on 88.5 FM. St. Joseph Eagle football is brought to you this season by these fine local businesses.
Jeff Paradowski, attorney at law, Glockson Family Partnership, Prosperity Bank, and Jason Bianski, BCR Realtor.
Listen to St. Joseph Eagles football on 88.5 FM. Special thanks to all of our St. Joseph Eagle football sponsors.
Welcome to the season that dreams are made of. The stars have aligned for a positively enchanting new Opus season. The main stage lineup features Beauty and the Beast, sponsored by Aggieland Credit Union, Million Dollar Quartet, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Disney in Concert, magical music from the movies, and an opening night concert starring Voice Play, sponsored by Allstate. Season and single tickets on sale now at mscopus.org.
Skyline Communications presents two-way radio for business and industry. Forget the brick radios of the past. Our full-featured units are lighter and smaller. Your cell phone can even access your radio fleet. Skyline Communications, two-way radio, a better way.
Fantasy football just got a whole lot more interesting. For the first time, DraftKings.com will crown two millionaires in one day. Use code Louie to play free for a shot at $2 million in the week one $10 million millionaire maker. Only at DraftKings.com.
Each Wednesday evening, grab a friend and grab your clubs and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course.
It's the Zone Shootout.
It's a two-person, nine-hole shotgun start scramble tournament with prices for net, gross, and skins. Prices for net, gross, and skins. Make sure to register your team by 3 o'clock day of. And the cost is only $28. For more info or to check out the weekly winners, visit the events tab at zone1150.com. Grab a friend and grab your clubs and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course.
It's the Zone Shootout.
Visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
Do you remember when it was last September? Love was changing my tender while chasing the clouds away. Arms ringing in the key that souls are singing as we dance in the night. Remember,
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Sessna here on the first day of September. Welcoming in A&M volleyball coach Lori Corbelli. Coach, I misspoke just a second ago. I said y'all start the home slate on Friday. It's actually on Saturday, I believe. But
yeah.
First, let's talk about over the weekend you guys went out to Palo Alto. I imagine the weather there was not bad.
It was gorgeous. You know, the first day we spent in San Francisco, and it was about 80, 79, 80 degrees with a cool ocean breeze or bay breeze, and it was unbelievable. We got to go on the Golden Gate Bridge, a lot of things that the girls have never done, most of the girls. So it was a really great day for team bonding and having some fun, and then we went to Palo Alto where, again, it was 75 to 80 and absolutely gorgeous.
Do you almost not want to go inside and play on a day that nice? Wish you could just stay outside and play?
And they just built their new sand stadium, so we kind of were like, wow, look, four courts and a beautiful stadium around their sand courts. And so we were like, let's just do this. Let's stay outside. Although I'm not sure I want to watch my indoor players play in the sand just yet. But, but yeah, it was hard to be inside, but it was really nice. And so, you know, they don't have a lot of air conditioning out there. So it was they do have it, but it's not, they don't crank it down, you know, really low. So it was really comfortable and a lot of fun.
Let's talk about the matches. A rough go against Stanford, but you know, they're not bad. And then bounce back against Minnesota in a game that you won the first set real close, 26-24, and then dropped the next two, but you came back and win that one. What did you get out of the weekend? Did you what were you excited about, and maybe what were you hoping to do better? Yeah. Just a couple of feedback from the first games there.
Yeah, well, you know, I think in terms of what I wish we would have done better is just that opening match. We've been playing such great, we've had some really great serve-receive days in our two-a-days where passing numbers, you know, we stat everything we do, and it's been one of our strongest points, and we've done serve-receive all the time, and I think just opening match, being at Stanford, a little bit of jitters, that's one of the first things that kind of doesn't break down completely, but it's not nearly as sharp and crisp as it needs to be. And because competition is so very different from practice, when you add all the other elements that are there for competition, it showed in our serve receive. And yet, and when we're not serve receiving that well, then our middles don't get the ball as often because they are the ones that run quick. They go to the net early and fast, and they're the first attackers. And if the setter's real far away from them because of that first pass, then it's hard to really get them in their groove. And so Stanford did a great job of just cutting really hard at us with their serving in their own, on their own home court, which is an advantage. Yet it made it choppy for us. So that was disappointing. But we went back and watched video and said, these are the things that we train. We know how to pass this kind of serve. We know where we messed up. Let's make these changes. And we got in the gym the next day. We had a one-hour little training session. We started working at fixing that, making it better anyway. And sure enough, as the match went on against Minnesota, it got better and better already, kind of started to resemble what we had been doing for 2 weeks in preseason. And our middles were able to make a difference, which then opened up our outside hitters.
When I was talking to some of the girls on the team the other day and I was doing my story and stuff like that, one of the things that they kept saying and the one thing that I've always been interested by with volleyball is y'all's season lasts forever. And they said that one thing they're trying to do this year is take a really an approach that there are different parts of the season. Hey, let's do this part of the season, and then we'll move on to the next part. Right. What is the goal here for this first part? Again, I mentioned you went out to Stanford, then you will be here this weekend for three matches, and then you're going to go to Iowa City for the Iowa Comfort Suites Challenge out there. What is your goal for this early part of the year?
Well, you know, I try not to do too much of, like, you know, 7-3 or 8-2. I want to be 10-0, you know, if we're playing 10 matches. But realistically, it is probably the toughest preseason, pre-conference season we've ever played, with the Stanford, New Mexico State, Wichita State coming up, Iowa State's ranked, Colorado State's top 10, Florida State's top 10. You know, that's heavy. That's heavy on the great teams. And so, honestly, I want to be so prepared for SEC play that when we start SEC, we've seen just about everything we can see at a high level. We've been able to overcome a lot of adversity during a match, meaning winning in five sets. These days, this game is so the playing field is so even that, you know, there's so many athletes out there playing that are 6'3" and over, and coaches that have been coaching for 20 years, and there's just so many good teams that if you have an off night against a good team, you get beat no matter how good you are. And so can we be consistently good on match night? You know, it's already on the schedule. We show up. We have to be ready to play and compete at the highest level. And some teams can, and especially as you get towards the middle of the season, some teams start to fizzle out a little bit with their focus and their intensity.
If you looked at y'all's roster and didn't know any better, someone would say that y'all are a really young team, and y'all are technically young, but when it comes to experience, you're really not, because y'all were such a young team last year that a lot of these girls have a lot of experience from last season. As far as you know, working together as a unit, how well they know each other, read each other, play with each other, how far ahead or, you know, maybe behind is this team compared to where y'all were last year at this time?
Well, you know, I think we're a little bit more ahead in the sense that the kids that are returning and are on the court a lot have worked hard all summer and spring to be even better this year. You know, sometimes seniors feel that urgency, like this is the last time I get to represent Texas A&M. I'm going to be on a mission. And you see it in their game. Angela Lowak, for example, I mean, she's just playing like she's, you know, she's in another zone. And it's wonderful to see because she's so athletic and so capable, and it's all clicked and it's all coming together, and this is all she has left. And so she's on a mission. And, you know, same with Sullivan, those two seniors. You know, the rest of our squad, yeah, we're mostly, I'd say a couple of juniors, but sophomore and very, very heavy with the sophomores and the freshman class. And that is kind of young, and it does most, a lot of times it's, I'm looking at the key position. You know, a Kiara McGee is going in on the left side now and has really improved a lot. So she's going to get a ton of balls. She probably hits harder than anyone we've got. She hits from higher than anyone we've got. And yet her game is still becoming complete. You know, she hasn't been all the way around very much in competition. She did that against Minnesota and did a beautiful job. We're hoping we can sustain that, but she's a young, young sophomore. She's only been playing volleyball for 3 or 4 years and playing now at a very high level. You know, our setter is back as a sophomore. She's played 1 year of college volleyball. She's really talented, and then she's got great competition in Shebanek, who's very talented and a year older. So I think more than anything, the competition in each of our positions is really true now. It's really, it could be one or the other, and they all realize that we're one play away from needing you. You know, we need you now, because look what just happened. And it happened at Minnesota. Lowak went down, and I looked over, and there was Emily Hardesty waiting to go in, and just kind of knew, there's my call. She went in and helped us beat Minnesota. She did a beautiful job, just was a champion in that match. And so I'm excited about the depth, as well as, you know, that we return a lot. But our depth has really worked hard to improve.
Real quick, before we let you go, Coach, tell us a little bit about the Texas A&M Invitational this weekend. Wichita State, Abilene Christian, New Mexico State. What do we know about those teams?
Wichita State's getting top 25 votes there. They return every starter, I believe, if not maybe one. They just took Hawaii to four sets in Hawaii. That rarely do people win games over in Hawaii with 8,000 people in their stands. They pass the ball beautifully. They're relentless on defense. They're going to be one of the tougher opponents that we've had in Reed Arena in a while. Really tough. We've got Wichita State. That's on Saturday. And then Sunday, we have New Mexico State. They're equally strong. They've got size. They've got lefties on the court that add a whole different dimension to your team that you have to defend against. It's not fun. Lots of great serve-receive plays that come at you really fast. Just a lot of dimensions of things that we will see in the SEC, and it's going to be a noon match on Saturday and a 1 o'clock match on Sunday. We also play at 4:30 against Abilene Christian before football kicks at 6, so we hope that Aggies will come out and support this group of girls that have been busting their tails to get ready for this season, and we're going to have an awesome year. It's a lot of fun to watch.
There we go. Coach, should be a fun weekend. Thanks for being on with us. Good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks so much.
Cease. There you go. Getting ready to go for the Texas A&M Invitational.
Serve it up. Serve it up.
Should be a fun weekend over there at Reed Arena. I still instinctively want to say Jubilee White Coliseum, but they're at Reed Arena.
It's hard not to do.
And have been for several years now. All right, let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk a little more A&M football. Hit us up, 229-1939. Predictions, questions, thoughts, whatever you want to send us, let us know, and we will weigh in on it. We're going to talk about Brandon Williams when we come back. So we will talk about his importance to the team. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. A 911 call to Texas A&M police yesterday that a man was threatening the life of his girlfriend turned out to be less serious. But before that was determined, officers drew their guns on the boyfriend. That's after he approached them in an aggressive manner and refused to take his hands out of his pocket. The altercation took place about 12:30 near Moses Residence Hall, where the woman, a campus employee of SSC, was being escorted to a secure location. The boyfriend, 28-year-old Zebulon Ransom of Bryan, was not not arrested. UPD says no criminal charges are pending, but Ransom was issued a criminal trespass warning, banning him from all university property. If you are with an organization that is planning to bring in a large group of out-of-town guests when local hotels need your business, look into getting grant money administered by the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Whether it's a sports event or a conference that has 250 or more room nights, that is certainly something that we're interested in helping you with. Not only helping you by providing services, but it is an opportunity for you to apply and be granted some of these funds for your marketing efforts.
CVB President Shannon Overby says they also offer services during your event. Applying for hotel tax grants is done online at visitaggieland.com. Blinn College's Workforce Training Center in Brenham was the setting for announcing a federal grant of nearly $1.4 million. The U.S. Commerce Department says the grant will go towards a new building, nearly 13,000 square feet, offering customized technical training, which was previously identified as the region's top-ranking local challenge to growth. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
The Zone headquarters in Houston for the Aggies and the Sun Devils will be at the Holiday Inn NRG Medical Center. Starting at 3 o'clock, Dusty and I'll get you ready for the new season with the Coors Light pregame show. Then, after the game, starting 30 minutes after the game, the party known as the post-game call-in show, both live from the lobby of the Holiday Inn NRG. If you're looking for a place to stay the night before or after the game, the Holiday Inn NRG is attached to the parking lot of the stadium. They've also just underwent a $12 million renovation. They've got a full-service bar, full-service restaurant. And if you're looking for a place to park for the game, they have a $30 parking special, which includes two drinks that you can enjoy while listening to the pregame show, or take them to go as you walk to the stadium for kickoff 2015 versus Arizona State. The Zone headquarters, and it can be yours too, is the Holiday Inn NRG Medical Center.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Hargrove Insurance, Terry Ruffino, Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, and Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Start this football season by winning $2 million. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Use code Louie to play free for a shot at $2 million in the week one $10 million millionaire maker. DraftKings.com.
If you're a high school senior with perfect attendance this year, you could win a new Scion from Atkinson Toyota Scion.
Sign up at AtkinsonItPaysToStay.com.
Hello. For more information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150, visit Zone1150.com now.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong.
Robert Bloom, Robert Cessna, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. You can text us 229-1939 with whatever is on your mind today, as we are about 48 hours, maybe slightly more, 51 hours or so.
I was gonna say, how's your,
from
how's
the first game? I think we got a 5:30 kick Thursday.
Oh, you're
first
Thursday,
one.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think we're closing in on our first round of college football games. The seconds are slowly ticking by. Unless you're trying to finish a story, in which case they're quickly ticking by. So again, let us know what's on your mind, 229-1939. Brandon Williams is, for me, if you could, we talked about, in the spring, we said if you could zoom into the future and know one player's stat line from this season, what would the player be? And we had all kinds of different ones.
I took Brandon Williams.
Yeah, he if he's one of those guys that if you could get a recording from the future and it says, you know, what is that movie, Frequency, where...
Yeah, thank you. That was my pick. I appreciate
Jim Caviezel is messaging and stuff. Yeah. Here was my... At the time, I was just thinking...
I know. We talked about it.
At most, he's going to add a little bit. The most you could expect would be for him to play 40%, 35% of the snaps and just not blow anything. But that's not how they're talking about
it. No, not at all.
They expect this guy who has not played corner in 4 years, we think. We think he played
at
in high school.
At least four, because he redshirted.
To be...
Transfer.
And if not elite, at least pretty good corner.
He's going to... They made it sound to... The way I read into it, if Arizona State comes out in a five wide receiver set, Brandon Williams is probably going to become one of those guys headed up.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Quite likely. And so when we're talking about, is he going to play 20%, 30%? No.
With
five wide receiver sets and everybody's, he's going to be out there a lot, providing he can cover the guy.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I mean, the thing I keep coming back to, if Brandon Williams has, he doesn't have to be all conference, but if he starts all 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever, games at corner, it would be one of the great turnarounds in A&M history,
well,
right?
That's one of the things you're saying is if.
Yeah.
If the fact came back to me that said Brandon Williams will start A&M's first 12 games, I'm going to say, whoa,
yeah.
A&M's going to have a really kick-butt season because that means he can handle it. And if he can handle it, that means the running backs are doing well. I mean, that means the defense is doing well.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that they talk about it with such confidence. I mean, they've never – I guess – and they would know. I mean, Chavis has seen great DBs before.
And let's be honest, Aubrey, he didn't even play defensive back in spring drills. He was running back.
No, he didn't, at least not that we saw. If he did, we didn't see it.
No, because he got a lot of snaps with Carson being out.
And you know, he's certainly working against top-flight receivers, we think. that was part of my preseason story. That
maybe he's covering Jordan Davis.
Well, I just can't.
Is that the guy's name, the tight end?
Yeah. Okay. I can't believe that it's September 1st, and the guy that you know could be one of the hinge factors for A&M this season is Brandon Williams. I mean,
I'm with you.
It's a bizarre world we live in, Cease. That was one of the things that I took away from today's press conference was they don't talk about Brandon Williams as if he's a reserve corner.
Correct.
They talk about him like he's the starter.
And let's not forget, one of the safeties just walked in from junior college. Now, he was here for the spring, but once again, you're talking about very inexperienced. And then you throw in Harris and Harvey, who had issues last year. That's four people you're rattling off real quick that's going to be on the field against a high-powered offense.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting, especially when you see they were talking, you know, like last year, I think a lot of A&M fans are mostly of the mind that anyone would be better than Raven and Matthew.
I understand.
In some ways, they're right. I mean,
they're probably right.
Raven was terrible in coverage.
But you and I talked last year, they kept getting back to those guys because those other guys weren't that good.
Yeah, they couldn't get, no one could get them off the field. It's one of those things you see that, I know it frustrates fans sometimes, but you got a guy on the field that doesn't look very good. Well, no one could beat him out, so they just stay out there. That was the case, but.
Maybe John Chavis is right. They've got the greatest defensive ends in the country. It's not going to matter. The quarterback's going to be in his back.
Well, I guess to listen to Chavis, you expect them to have, I don't know, 10 sacks this weekend. I mean, the way he talks about those defensive ends.
I kind of expect them to have four or five sacks in enough hurries that's going to cause interceptions and a lot of deflections.
Well, the other thing I think is kind of funny to me, though, is this – the way that this game is, the fact that it is Arizona State and the way they play, does lend itself to the defense, I think, is either going to come out in a just like blaze of glory. I mean, I know you normally go out in a blaze of glory, but come in and just interceptions, sacks, turnovers, just blows Arizona State out of the water. or they're going to get lit up. I have a hard time seeing it in between.
But so you don't think it's going to be a long odds makers feel this is going to be a field goal game? This is going to be a 41-38
no, I don't
game.
Think so.
You don't think so? Okay.
No, I mean, I could kind of seeing it be a wild shootout. I can see that.
I do see that.
I was talking to Rob Sellers, who we've had on the show today before from Rivals, and he asked me, he goes, all right, game of, what's your prediction here? And I haven't fully decided yet. This isn't, I still have the right to change this before it goes in the paper. But to me, it's an interesting game. I could see A&M blowing out Arizona State, and I can see this game being a wild shootout. The one thing I can't see is Arizona State blowing out A&M. I have a hard time envisioning that. With the players that A&M has, the depth they have, the guys coming back, and the fact that it is the first game of the season, that's the only thing I can't see really happening. But a big part of that, though, is the defense. Again, it's my just belief that they're going to be, you know, pretty good. And I think that they are going to be so hard to prepare for. That's why I think they have a big advantage in this game. Is how, if you're Arizona State, what do you even prepare for with A&M's defense? I mean, you have no idea. The scheme isn't that complicated, but you have no idea what these players can do in that scheme. I mean, we might see guys that are all of a sudden big-time playmakers.
Maybe Deshaun Hall will be the next Miles Garrett.
That have been ghosts so far at A&M. So.
Maybe Justin Manning comes off the bench and has 2 sacks.
Well, and, yeah, maybe. Or maybe he's hurt. We don't know. We can't tell. it's one of those.
Can you imagine Arizona State gets the ball in the first play? They do a down and out. Brandon Williams intercepts it, returns it for a touchdown. The stadium would go ballistics.
Now, one thing we have talked about a little bit that does help A&M in this first game with their linebacker, you know, Schrodinger's box injuries that they may or may not be injured, but we don't know, is that they're probably not going to play with. They're going to play in the nickel, what they call it, the Mustang, probably most of the game anyway. Is it Ellis that's been their nickel back so far in camp or one of those
Burns.
Guys?
Burns wasn't a pass. They moved him. It's him or Ellis.
But The linebacker depth probably won't be a factor in this first game. So I think that helps
think
them
so.
A little bit.
But, you know, Arizona State does a good job getting the running back in space. So with the linebackers, that is a little bit of a concern unless you put one of the safeties on the guy coming out of the backfield.
Someone texted, if John Chavis says Brandon can do it, don't worry, fellas. Says, if Chief says a fly can pull a tractor, I'd believe it. That's David and Caldwell.
Donovan Wilson and Ellis are listed as
Yeah, Donovan backs. Wilson, that was the other
I
one.
Want to get that corrected. Thank
yeah.
you.
So there we go. Someone else texted, by the way, this is off the beaten path a little bit, but it says former Aggie tennis player Austin Krychek, I guess that's how he says his name, Krychek?
Close enough.
Just won his first round match at the U.S. Open.
Wow.
So there you go. There's that.
With Brandon Williams on us, he won.
The texter's giving us some news. But as far as
that's good.
As far as players on Saturday, you know, we're talking about the most important guys. Who's going to make or break this game? Brandon Williams is not one I expected to be talking about, but yet here we are. Is there another one that sticks out to you? Obviously Kyle Allen.
Oh, yeah.
The quarterback.
Well, it's funny that you mention it because I think it's going to be a shootout. And I give Todd Graham a lot of credit there when you look at what he's been able to do. But that being said is, you talk about A&M's defense being unknown. This quarterback came off the bench last year, and I need to get his name, and did well. I'll be interested to see how he handles it. It is his team. This is a big game for him. And a lot of people like him, but I don't know. Until he comes in and does it, I'll wait and see what he does.
Is it Bergovici, something like that? Bergovic?
Mike Bergovici.
There's no way you're getting this right.
Bergovici. Don't they have one of these enunciation keys? Oh, here we go. Bergovici.
Well, see, I thought I knew it, and then the way that Doug Haller pronounced it when he was on the show last week threw me off because that's not how I thought it was. So now I got to rethink my Arizona State quarterbacks.
Is that Arizonian?
I don't know what that
descent.
But
Bergovici.
He's obviously going to be a big key for this one, and other than that, on the defensive side.
Because I'm a little bit like you. I expect Kyle Allen to play well. I mean, I expect that. And why do I do? I just when you look at what Sumlin's offenses have done since he's been here, when he's got time to prepare, you look what Kenny Hill did last year, going in. You look at what happened when they put the wraps off on Johnny Manziel. You look at these big games. They've gone on the road. I just think Cal Allen's going to have a big game. Now, that's why I don't know about the Arizona State guy. That's why I think he's a big X factor for me.
That's kind of why I think I could see this game being a little bit like the South Carolina game last year, where A&M's defense gives up a lot of yards but gets some turnovers. I think South Carolina only punted a handful of times in that game, right? I mean, that it wasn't that, but they had the interceptions.
It's very true, but you know, here's the deal about the openers. Little do we know that South Carolina was a crappy team last year.
Yeah, so right.
I don't think Arizona State's a bad team when you look at what they have back at certain positions. So if the quarterback is average, I think Arizona State's going to be decent. I think they're going to be able to put some points on the board. And but if your quarterback's horrible, it doesn't matter what you have around you.
Yeah, like I said, I'm seeing more a I can just see A&M getting a couple turnovers.
Hey, you look at the guys behind him. This guy's got three freshmen behind him. If he meets Miles Garrett early,
yeah,
and Barucci doesn't know that he's in Houston, you know Arizona State, you could have a problem. You might be ready for liftoff.
Well, and the thing I keep coming back to, the biggest advantage that I think either team has over the other team is A&M's defensive ends against those two first-time starters at tackle.
Yeah,
I mean, that is going to be hard. I mean, I can't imagine.
Miles Garrett's smiling.
And that's the one position, you know, and you can simulate a quarterback, you know, a running quarterback. You can simulate a running quarterback. You can have, you know, your fastest guy on the team come out over there and run around for a little bit. You can't simulate a great defensive end.
Now, I will say that they're a redshirt senior and a redshirt junior, so they've been around the program. But it's a little bit like what we talked about looking back last year. When you look at Floyd Raven or whatever, they've been around.
Haven't been able to get on the field.
Yeah, sometimes if you've been around, that's not good because you're not good enough to get on the field.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to be bad necessarily. But like I said, there's no way you can simulate a guy like Miles Garrett. So good
there's
luck.
There's going to be time you're not even going to get a hand on him.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real.
Good luck to start this game. Someone texted Christian, quote, Captain Kirk will have his coming out party and put him in the national conversation for SEC Player of the Year. Mark my words, it's Nate in the 808.
Okay, be careful drinking and texting, you know, and just hit that send button. I mean, he hasn't played a game yet. I mean,
yeah, people have high hopes.
I understand, but they had high hopes for Speedy Noel last year, too.
Yeah, that's
almost
true.
Exactly the same.
Well, yeah. In some
didn't they?
The thing was, we didn't know as fans. It's easy looking at.
But Kirk has played receiver.
Yeah, we didn't know how not good at wide receiver Noel was, and that's not to say he's not a good athlete, but we didn't because we don't get to see anything. We didn't know that he couldn't run routes
and
all that kind of stuff.
A lot of people in LSU, Louisiana State fans, weren't that upset about losing Noel, and of course they were jealous. But then again, it gets back to us. He wasn't a blaze at wide receiver. Kirk has been a standout wide. He understands the fades. He understands to go ahead and use his
the
body.
The leans
he all
and
knows
rips
all that already.
And all those things that we don't know what they mean.
And he is not the focal point of this offense, I feel. Not when you have somebody like Josh Reynolds and maybe even Trey Carson. When you look at – I do think I like Trey Carson to get 15 carries. And you start dividing the ball up, that's a lot of carries.
Yeah,
for one guy.
We're gonna come back in the second hour. You might. I don't know if you're going to or not. We're gonna ask you if you have a prediction. If you want to put your prediction out there,
haven't got that far.
But we will. We'll do that later on in the show, and maybe we'll do a little over under on the running backs.
I like Boise State.
Let's go to break first. When we come back, hit the people with a little of today in Aggie history. So come back with us, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
As the old saying goes, if your only tool is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. At Intercon, we have a full toolbox to meet your window needs. Perhaps your home is ready for a full retrofit to vinyl windows. This full replacement option beautifies your home while improving thermal efficiency, noise reduction, and dust penetration. On the other hand, your existing windows may just need some maintenance. The glass in your existing windows may be replaced, in many cases, upgraded to more efficient options. The mechanism in your windows can be replaced to allow the window to operate more smoothly. Maybe you just need solar screens on some windows to eliminate hot spots in your home that tax the air conditioning system and make some rooms unlivable. With the breadth and depth of Intercon's knowledge and product offering, we can find the solution that meets your needs and budgetary constraints. Trust your friends at Intercon to understand your needs and use the best tool for the job.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
It's a great time for sizzling hot deals at Normandy Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. And right now, get the best deal of the summer with the Kubota L2501F 25 horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot land pride shredder complete with an $800 finance rebate and a $500 cash rebate. Only $11,695. Or 10% down in payments of only $156 per month. Norman G. asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Need to finance? Norman G. makes it easy with zero down payment and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. And remember, most any trade can be your down payment. Norman G. Tractor, voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials at normangtractor.com. Located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G., Texas. And remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Rudy's Barbecue, and Garland Shelton Imports.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Hi, Gabe Bach here from TexAgs Radio, and if you're not currently a premium or varsity level subscriber to TexAgs.com, what are you waiting for? TexAgs.com is the inside source for all things Aggie sports, the leaders in breaking news coverage, in-depth analysis, recruiting scoop, and more. Whether it's exclusive long-form interviews with Aggie players and coaches or insight on the next big recruit on his way to Aggieland, nobody covers A&M like TexAgs. Jump on board now, and don't miss out on the very best in A&M sports coverage. It's TexAgs.com.
Love A&M recruiting? Then you're going to love the Bellucci Hour Lunch with Billy and Bryce each Monday and Thursday at noon here on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
One, and in comes the two to the three and four. Then I drop the beat I have in store. Lay the lyrics on the top like a rug. Make it sound smooth and later make a dub. Enunciate well so that you can tell. I am not illiterate, no, not even a little bit. Nothing like an idiot. You want the record? Cool, I'm with it.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Cecil, let's hit you with a little bit of today in Aggie history.
And now, today in Aggie history.
Cecil. I don't know if there's another day with more todays.
Really?
And 17 things, noteworthy things, have happened on September 1st in Aggie history. We're not going to read off all 17. If you want the 16. Full list, go to myaggienation.com. We'll read you a few of them. The big one of the day, the one that's in the big headline, September 1st, 1954, Paul Bear Bryant begins football camp in Junction, Texas. Day one of Junction. So there we go. That happened today, 1954. Let's see. September 1st, 1887. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Amon Underwood was born. Underwood graduated from A&M in 1907 with a degree in civil engineering and is the namesake for Underwood Hall on the A&M campus. This is how long ago this was. He went on to work for the British East Africa Company, which was most people remember for their involvement in much more serious things down the road. But that's what he did. So there you go. All sorts of presidents that either started or ended on this day. September 1st, one of the wouldn't be too much to say one of the busiest days in Texas A&M history. By the way, the last one, September 1st, 2007, everyone's favorite A&M song, We Bleed Maroon, premiered on the Jumbotron at Kyle Field. So there you go. Granger Smith, of course, class of 2002. So lots of today's and Aggie history on MyAggieNation.com. You can also go there to take our quiz on the which Aggie football player are you most like. You answer a bunch of questions and it spits out a name. It tells you who you are and what A&M football player are you. So go on there, do that. Tell us who you got. Agree, disagree. Hit us up.
What's that guy's name? King. You'd be GL. What's that guy's name?